Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
We're working on our School of the Spirit. We'll begin in April. We'll have some more details on that coming up. The way I've scheduled it, the way it will run from April through August. And we will run it every year like that, unless the Lord says something else. One of the reasons is because the Lord spoke to me and said, you need to begin to expose people to what it means to not only live or walk in the Spirit, but to understand the move of the Spirit. Amen. Now, listen, I've been praying about revival, moves of God, different things like this. My problem is not that I'm not in revival, it's trying to get everybody else into it. If I could get 50 people to come to church every night, I'd have church every night. And I'd call it revival. I don't care what anybody says. Amen. But see, there's several dynamics to how God moves and when God moves. There's a timing aspect. There's a preparation aspect. There's an expectancy aspect. You know, God doesn't move in a lot of people's lives because He just doesn't expect them to. And when He does, it surprises them. You know, God actually did something. Well, it shouldn't be like that. Amen. I mean, the Bible says to look for the mercies of God in all things. It's amazing when you begin to look for the mercy of God in all things. It's amazing how much of it you see, of how much God is actually doing in our lives. You know, the Lord impressed this upon my spirit the other day in prayer over in the prayer room. He said, the fact that you exist is an intimidation to the devil. Because he thinks he can run and rule all things on the earth. But he can't because we're still here and we have authority over him. Now think about this. When Jesus came to the earth, it was not to defeat the devil on behalf of God. There was never any reason for the devil to be defeated in behalf of God. God has always been the preeminent ruler over the devil, the creator of him, and the one who actually controls him by his word. Amen. So he came to do it for us. We're the ones that needed salvation. We're the ones that needed deliverance. And we're the ones that needed to be born again because our first birth was putting us in a place of spiritual death. Amen. And then when Jesus came and began to introduce man to a whole new dynamic of the Spirit, because the only thing that they knew up until that point was what was going on in Israel with the Levitical priesthood, and really nothing had gone on there for 400 years. Amen. There was no prophetic word that had gone forth. There was no what the Bible called open vision or no actual application of Scripture or reality of Scripture. But there were amazing things that happened, and they call it the silent years. But God did use the Roman nation to build roads all over the known world, and then He used the Greek nation to raise up a common language. So when the gospel was ready to be preached, the roads were built, the language was ready. God knows what He's doing. I said, God knows what He's doing. But then, you know, here we are at the end of this thing. Now, you can think all the negative things about, well, you know, we're at the bottom of the barrel and all the sewage and sludge has just come down to the bottom and we got to live in all that. Well, the thing is, God's given us provision to do that. It may be the bottom of the barrel. It may be the end of the 6,000-year land lease on the earth. That's what a lot of theologians call it. The 6,000-year land lease, you know, seventh year or the 7,000 year or the millennial reign, feel like Daffy Duck, you know. The millennial reign, that's that seventh year, that's that seventh day, that's that day of rest. Thank God we get to be a part of all of that, amen. So we're looking at some of the basic things that have to do. We looked at the Spirit of God in us, salvation, the Spirit of God abides, amen. And now we're kind of looking a little bit at the Spirit of God that empowers us. But let me just say this, and when I wrote my little book on Empowered by the Spirit, so much emphasis is put on just plain speaking in tongues. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm kind of like the Apostle Paul. I speak in tongues more than y'all. One of them kind of guys, amen? But if we put all our emphasis on that, then we don't understand some of the greater dynamics of what the Spirit of God is even doing while we're speaking in tongues. In doing that, you're building yourself up on your most holy faith. You're praying the will of God. You say, Pastor, I'm just struggling with the will of God in my life. Start praying in the Spirit. Start praying in the Holy Ghost every day. If you'll pray in the Holy Ghost, I was taught that. I was taught that as a child. And when I came back into the kingdom of God 40 years ago, one of the first things I was exposed to, Mom Goodwin up in Tulsa was, Rusty, you're going to have to pray in the Holy Ghost at least an hour every day or you're not going to make it. She was right. What got me through the last 40 years was praying in the Holy Ghost, because then the Word comes into the right perspective. The authority of the believer comes into the right perspective. Your visions, your dreams, they begin to get defined and refined. All of the things that God desires for you. Not only that, the Spirit of God shows you things to come. It prepares you for things that are coming. It does all kinds of beneficial things in your life. And so many people, the Holy Ghost is just dormant in their life. You know, for much of the Pentecostal world, the baptism of the Holy Ghost was an experience at the altar where people came down and, you know, said, yabba dabba doo, and the preacher said, you got it. And they went on. That's all they ever knew of it or heard of it. But see, our church was a little different. Mom and Dad Goodwin, they were pioneers. They were trendsetters. And they had two big old altars on each side of the building. And after every service, they'd invite people up to the altar. And those altars would be crowded with people all around those altars, praying all on the altars up by the stage and the platform, praying all up in the choir loft, all up in the people. And they'd sometimes pray for an hour, hour and a half at night after the services, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit, praying in the Holy Ghost, praying in the Spirit. You know what they were doing there at that church? They were praying the charismatic revival in. They're praying that charismatic renewal in. I mean, when you get a guy like John Osteen get baptized in your church, baptized in the Holy Ghost in your church, something may be working right. Amen? So go to John chapter 16. Now, we were over there in chapter 14. And you go to chapter 16, and I'll just read here for a moment. I'm going to read out of chapter 14, but you go to 16. It says in verse 15 of chapter 14, if you love me, keep my commandments. Who's saying that? Jesus is saying that, amen? Now, whose words are those? Are those his words? What is your opinion? What is your doctrine? No, whose words are those? Anybody know? They're God's words. They're the Father's words. Jesus said, the words that I speak, they're my Father's. The works that I do, they're my Father's. Amen? So we must always remember that that's what Jesus was in his earth walk. He's not what he is now. Now he is in a position of authority at the right hand of the Father. Amen? But when he walked on the earth, what he revealed, who he was, revealed the nature of the Father. The law didn't do it. The law revealed the nature of sin. Yeah. Jesus revealed the nature of the Father. When the sick leper cried out, I know you can heal me if you will. The Father said, I will. And Jesus did it. Yeah. Amen? Now how did he do it? Does anybody know how he did it? Did he do it? No. The Father did it. How did the Father do it? By the Holy Ghost. See how God works. It's so simple. Amen. That's why he put his Spirit on the inside of you, so that Jesus could be glorified. The Father's will, the Word, who is Jesus? He's the Word of God. The Spirit of God carrying out the dictates of the Word. Man, how awesome is that? We get to see the Word made flesh. Oh, glory. We'll get off on that in a minute. Now notice what it says. I'll pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Everybody say forever. Even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive. Why cannot the world receive the Spirit of truth? Because he's not talking about salvation. He's talking about the baptism and the Holy Ghost. And you can't get filled with the Holy Ghost till you've been saved. You can't put old wine in you can't put new wine in an old wineskin. Amen. So, everybody say, get saved. Get filled with the Holy Ghost. Now notice what he says here. I will pray the Father, he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Now this is so cool when you teach on the Godhead and you teach on the Trinity. Because people are, you know, one of the realities of the Word is the mentioning of the mystery of the righteousness of God. Amen. Because we don't understand how a being can separate and segregate himself into three parts and still be one. You can't. There's no theologian that has figured that out, nor has there been a man of God or a woman of God or anybody else of God that has gotten revelation of that. It is part of the mystery of righteousness. But he so segregated and separated himself from himself that a part of himself he has put in you for how long? Eternally. So he has reconnected with his creation eternally, not through a place, not through Eden, but through a spirit, his own spirit he's put on the inside of you. If the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you, he shall quicken or make alive your mortal body. The Spirit of God is on the inside forever. That eternally connects you to God, where you still remain in the position of humanity as he remains in the position of deity. Oh my goodness. Anyway, now, even the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him. Everybody say, I know him. Say, I know him. For he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. So he's talking about a twofold working. The Spirit that abides, everybody say abides, and the Spirit that empowers. Amen? Everybody say Spirit that empowers. Now go to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, let me get over here. Now let's look at verse 7, Gospel of John. It says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. Everybody say the truth. Aren't you glad he's telling the truth? It's expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. Everybody say, reprove the world of sin. Now, this is the work of the Spirit. Amen. That's, woo! That's why the world hates you. Do you know that? Do you know when you are around people in the world, something about you gives them the reality of their own unrighteousness? They don't like that. You didn't like that. Remember that Christian that used to be in your life? Had that big smile. When I was backslid, I had a guy I worked with. His wife, she was Baptist. Man, she was a fiery old Baptist too, man. I mean to tell you. Me and my cousin went over there stoned out of our minds one time, and she was mad because we were in there getting her husband stoned, and so she came in and just started preaching to us. I mean, she was laying down the law. Here she's preaching hellfire and brimstone too. Don't you know you're going to die? You're going to go to hell. So, you know, me and my cousin, we're two old backslid Pentecostal boys. So my cousin looks at my cousin. No, it was me that said it, and then my cousin said it like this. I said this. I said, what you Baptists need is the Holy Ghost. And my cousin was smoking a bong. How many know what a bong is? How do you know that? So he took a big hit off that bong and went, yeah, that's what you Baptists need. Y'all need, and I'll never forget what that woman said, because it made my blood run cold. She said, if that's what you have, I don't want it. Wasn't a year later, I was right with God. That scared me silly. But you know, she came right over here to Church of the Living God back in about 1990, 91. And walked the aisle and got filled with the Holy Ghost. And she said, now I know that's real, because if you've got it, I know who you used to be. If you've got it, it's got to be real. Amen. I'll never forget, she had a little blind boy. I trust God to touch their eyes. You know, I had something happen to me. I don't know why I'm going to tell you this, but it'll help you. Recently, I don't know if I've told you this. I was in a situation where there was a child that needed help. needed somebody to take authority over a devil trying to kill it. But you have to understand something, church. You can't do things just because you think you have some kind of power or anointing, because you don't. Jesus is the one that does it. And there is a protocol to ministry, especially when it comes to children like that. And if there's not parental permission, then your hands are tied. There is an authority that God will not usurp or override, especially when it comes to parents and their children and things like that. But it reminded me, I sat there for a couple of days and was observant of this. And I'm telling you, when there's demonic activity and that devil knows that it's got you in a catch-22. There's nothing that you, it'll mock you. It'll do things. I almost got to the point where I was like, y'all just come across this table and take care of this right now. But you can't do that. You can't do that. So you have to be, listen, you have to be wise, and you have to, that's why God gives us the Spirit of God, because when we pray in the Holy Ghost and pray in the Spirit, these things that we're studying, they become relevant, but still you get that sensitivity to the Spirit and you understand your perimeters. I don't like the word boundaries. I like the word perimeters, because there are things that, and here, the reason I'm saying that is this: what you're going to see in the days ahead, especially when people get especially deep into deliverance and things like that, they usurp that. They go around that. And they begin, there's the devil. I'm going to cast the devil out. I'm going to do this or that. And many times it does just the opposite. It opens the door to the enemy. Instead of shutting that door, it'll open the door. So we want to stay with the Word of God, amen? And man, when we got permission, we're going to be bulldogs and we're going to be the lion of the tribe of Judah. But in the meantime, we're just going to be just harmless as doves, amen? But we're going to understand that authority. So when He has come, everybody say, when He has come, speaking of the Holy Ghost, He will reprove the world of sin. Everybody say sin. Of righteousness. Everybody say righteousness. And of judgment. Everybody say judgment. Now He goes through and Jesus expounds on it. Of sin, why? Because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, why? Because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, now listen to this. Because the prince of this world is judged. Everybody say the prince of this world is judged. Everybody say judge. Everybody say judge. Now everything that Jesus did for us in redemption is a judgment against the devil for us. By His stripes we are healed. That is the judgment against Satan, against sickness, disease, and everything he produced. Who was it? I believe it was Dowie that said, Alexander Dowie that said, sickness and disease is the evil offspring of its father Satan and its mother sin. Pretty close, amen? So we've got to understand that Jesus, when He died upon the cross, one of the works of the Holy Ghost is to help us understand that sickness, that disease was judged. Come on, church. It was judged, and we got in on the right side of the judgment. You say, what do you mean? We're not on the disease side that says, you got to leave, you're destroyed. We're on the healing side. We're the ones saying, you got to leave. You're destroyed in the name of Jesus. You were defeated 2,000 years ago. We speak against you according to the Word of God. And the Spirit of God comes and backs that up. Stands right there. Says, you got to go. Now notice what it says. Notice what it says. This is so cool. Howbeit, when the Spirit of truth has come, He will guide you. Everybody say, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will what? Show you things to come. Amen. Now, you got to be real careful with that, because you can see something to come that may be something potentially in your life, that God says, that I want that. So you're going to have to use your faith. You're going to have to get out there and fight and scrap for that. Or He'll show you things to come that's part of the whole dynamic of what's going on in the world. A lot of people never get inside information like that because they'll blab it. If you'll learn to keep your mouth shut when God speaks to you, God will speak to you more. Can I say that again? Unless He tells you to say something. There's many things that the Lord speaks to me that I don't say it. I don't speak. Unless He gives me permission to do it, I don't do it. But then there's other things that he says, say this, and I'm like, please don't make me say that. Please don't. I was in a meeting one time. Leah was there. Some of the others were there, but I'm not going to mention you. And I got to preaching, and the Lord said something to me to say in this meeting. And for years and years in this particular church, they had built this church with the glory of God. But they figured out a better way. They did. They figured out a better way than the glory. They did. Yeah. They're going to give away turkeys. So I'm up preaching, and I don't want anything to do with that. I'm like, Lord, I don't want to. And the Lord spoke to me and said, now you say something about it. I'm like, nope. Mm-mm. And he said again, he said, I kept walking. You know, I get to pacing fast. You can tell when God's doing it, I'll start pacing fast. You can always tell that's when God's telling me something to do something I don't want to do. And he said, say it. He kept telling me. I preached probably 15 minutes fighting with God. Finally, he said it like this. You say it or I'll take the anointing off your life right now. I said it. You can't change the glory of God for a turkey. And that place exploded. Kaboom! I mean, the Holy Ghost fell on that place. I'm like, oh my God. But listen, church, you can't trade the glory of God for a turkey. You have to understand that the Holy Ghost is in the earth to manifest what Jesus Christ himself did on that rugged cross, how he destroyed the devil, how he made a show of him openly, how he triumphed over him. Everything that Jesus did, he stepped out of that position of deity and then stepped into the position of Lord, Savior, God Almighty of redemption. And there's no power in the universe that can override that. All of it must bow and bend to the authority placed in that covenant. And God's given that to us. Yeah. And we live so below rights and privileges many times because we just don't exercise it. Now let's do this. We'll close with this. Let me go back up to verse 11. Of judgment, everybody say of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now, let me read this. Got it over here in my... Let's read this in our Passion Bible real quick, or my Passion Bible. I've been studying some in the Message Bible, too. I found a couple of disappointing things in the Message Bible. I did. I was like, And I like the message. There's some really good stuff there. But always remember, it's just man. You know, there's original manuscripts. There's paraphrases. There's translations. Just always remember, the standard of the King James keeps you safe. Amplified is the closest to the Greek, but there's still a lot of Aramaic, what do they call it, interdiction in a lot of that. And when you do word studies and stuff, always remember, use exhaustive concordances. Not just concordances, get your exhaustive concordances. Amen? You Bible school students. It says, but here's the truth. This is in the Passion Bible, John 16, verse 7. But here's the truth. It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the divine encourager will not be released to you. But after I depart, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will expose sin and prove that the world is wrong about God's righteousness and his judgment. Now, how is the world wrong about God's righteousness and his judgment? Do you know? They believe, the world still believes, and it's predominant in the church. The church has empowered the world to believe that you can be good enough. God does not send bad people to hell. God does not send good people to hell. No, he does not. They go there by their own choice. Amen? He does not send. But what he does is he lets live people come to heaven. We'll figure that out here in a little bit. A sin, now notice, prove that the world is wrong about God's righteousness and his judgments. Sin, because they refuse to believe in who I am. God's righteousness, because I'm going back to join the Father and you'll see me no longer. And judgment, because the ruler of this dark world, now notice how it says it here, has already received his sentence. Now here's your key. I wrote this as I was meditating and praying over this. continued judgment released against the devil because he has been judged, found guilty, and sentenced. He's under a sentence right now. He will eventually be locked away forever in a lake of fire, never to break out again. Amen? Therefore, your victory and willingness to grow and mature in your God-given authority is part of that punishment. Did you get that? Have you been punishing the devil, or has he been punishing you? So obviously there's a choice in how you're going to live. Most Christians, listen, this is the tragedy of the generations that have received revelation of faith and how to serve God, is that we live below those rights and privileges, and the devil is not receiving his just due based on judgment. Because when the pain is gone, that's the judgment. When the check comes in the mail, that's the judgment. When the miracle manifests, that's the judgment. That's the proof the devil is defeated. Jesus Christ is Lord and seated at the right hand of the Father. Sure, we get the benefit of the pain leaving. Sure, we get the benefit of the money to build the church. Sure, we get the benefit of the depression being destroyed. We get the benefit of all of it, but it really, the ulterior motive to all of it was to judge this entity that brought all this hell to the earth and to keep him where? Under the feet of the church by demonstrating his defeat and carrying out the judgments of God. That's why the church has to wake up. And it wakes up by you waking up. The devil messes with you, say no. Put some stupid thought in your head, say no. Don't entertain that and let him turn it into a temptation. Now is the time to become super resistant against everything the enemy's trying to run across your mind. Because I guarantee, I think it was Sunday we prayed over people that were confusion. That's what the enemy will do, see. He'll keep you oppressed and oppressed and oppressed in your mind, involved in some trauma, some trial, some tribulation, some trouble, and here you're dealing with it. Instead of worshiping God, you're dealing with a problem. You've not cast your care upon the Lord. You're still connected to the burden. It's heavy. It's not light. Jesus said, my burden's light. My yoke is easy. You need to unyoke from that. You need to pray that prayer of faith. You need to say, Lord, I'm standing upon your word. Devil, you're defeated. Out of my life. Get out of here in the name of Jesus. And then you need to stand worshiping and thanking God for your victory. You don't think about what if it doesn't work. If you're thinking that, you're not ready. It works. But you have to live in the position in which it does work. You can't go into that position when you need it and then back out and run around and have a good time, then all of a sudden fall into it. Well, I got to get back over and get spiritual again. It's too late. You've done lost ground. Now the only thing that's going to work for you is mercy. Amen? But see, we're growing from faith to faith, from glory to glory. Listen, some of these trials and tribulations that some of you have fought, God has allowed those things to come. He hasn't done it by permission. You understand that? He doesn't do that by permission. But you have to understand, church, the Word of God says Jesus, he learned obedience through the things he suffered. There were things that Jesus had to go through. God allowed it. He could have stopped it, but God allowed it. But he learned that obedience. And the problem is you get in a church and God begins to move and the Spirit of God begins to bring conviction to people's heart and they get offended. Get mad at the preacher. Get mad at this person. Get mad at that person. Then that opens the door. That drags in all kinds of stuff. Amen. That you have to stand against, fight, get it back out, get the church clean back up, get the Spirit of God moving. Amen. And thank God that's what we're doing. And we're doing it. We've done it for all these years. You say, why? Because this is what blesses and helps people break free from this crazy system that's dragging. I have, the other day, when was it? What's today? Wednesday? I think it was Monday afternoon. I thought I would listen to this news program, and I cut it off after about 20 minutes because everything they said was so ridiculous. I thought to myself, people are really saying these things, believing these things, acting on these things, expecting this stuff. I'm like, unbelievable. It's the distraction of the last day. Let me have this. I'll close with this. Let me make sure I got all this done. Obeyed my assignment tonight. How many ready to demonstrate some of that judgment? We call it demonstrating the defeat of the devil. Now think about this for a moment. 1948. What was it? May 14th. Ben Gurion went up and announced in front of the whole world that the nation of Israel had formed. And just a few minutes later, Harry Truman stepped up to a microphone and affirmed it. And the nation of Israel was born. 1948, the healing revival broke out in America. And God began to move through signs and wonders and miracles. And men traveled all over this nation, putting up canvas cathedrals. And thousands and hundreds of thousands and even millions of people were healed. In 1967, the 67 war broke out in which Israel retook Jerusalem. When Israel retook Jerusalem, the Jesus movement started. And God began to move among the hippies and yippies and yuppies that didn't want to go fight Dow Chemical's war in Vietnam. And they ended up, in 1972, Yom Kippur War, charismatic move starts. So every time you see Israel at war, in our generation, revival has broken out. Did you hear that? Every time you've seen war. Now, I was telling Leah, we were watching a thing on the war in Israel right now. And, of course, don't listen to the news media and everything the news media has to say about all that stuff. Amen. We know people that are a little more informed than the news media. But let me say this. I was telling her about the 1972 war because we heard some wonderful testimonies. Ralph Littlejohn and, remember Ralph Littlejohn and Mamie was her name. And then there were a couple of others. These were men that were pretty high up in the Full Gospel Businessmen Association ministry that was pretty strong all over the world at that time. And when that broke out in 72, Yom Kippur began. They attacked during a major holiday in Israel. These men flew to Jerusalem. They knew people there. They knew they were able to get in. And they checked into the King David Hotel and began to pray. So we were watching the movie Gold, about Golda Meir, which was, I would highly recommend it. Anyway, God did a miracle for Israel in 72. And it happened because people understood prayer and intercession. And those men that checked into the King David Hotel did it for the pure purpose of prayer. I think there were five or six of them. They began to pray. And that whole thing was turning, where both Syria and Egypt and Jordan were coming to the border. They were fixing to annihilate Israel, literally annihilate them. And as they prayed, they saw a hand come out of heaven. And they began to pray in unison, send confusion to their ranks. When that happened, all of the crystals in the communication radios of the Syrian army failed. The Syrian army did not get the word that they were coming into a trap because Israel had set a trap for them where their tank turrets were turned up in such a way that when Syria approached them, they could not get their turrets down to fire at Israel. And when that happened, Israel annihilated them. And God gave them a miracle. Listen, church. Don't listen to all this political rhetoric. We're not we don't believe in replacement theology. The church did not replace Israel. But when you see this stuff going on in Israel, you need to understand that God is moving in sovereign areas of His will that have been predestined for the earth to be a part of since time and creation. And listen, generation after generation after generation has only lived in a partial, shadow of that until we begin to get into modern times and God begin to move and technology begin to, all technology increased because of righteousness. Yeah. You don't find any heathen nations inventing things and making. Most of those awesome inventions come from Christians or from people that believe God. Sure, there's an exception to all of that. But here's the thing, church. We are poised and positioned at a time in history in which the outpouring of God is really what's on the schedule next. Do you ever find yourself praying to be raptured? If you pray much, you do. Do you ever find yourself praying, you know, that you know, don't let me miss it, Lord. Don't let me. I find myself praying that all the time. Yeah. And I believe God is stirring the church right now spiritually. That's why there's so much distraction. And that's why the enemy's doing, look over here, look over here. What'd they say? What'd he say? What'd she say? What'd they do? Now listen. As long as you can maintain in your mind the reality that people that are around you that are serving God with you are doing it the right way. We're loving people. We're forgiving people. We're forgetting people's mistakes because we got as many as anybody else. We're doing our best to walk in love toward anybody that wants to walk in love. But here's the thing. We've got to resist the devil in the realm of the spirit. And when you begin to do that, there's a lot of people in the body of Christ who have yielded to the devil in their minds and in their lives that it begins to stir them up. And they start coming alive. And what you have to do, you have to continue to walk in love, but you've got to pray in the Holy Ghost, stay close to the Word. You stay close to God, your Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, the Holy Ghost that empowers and abides on the inside of you. And I guarantee you will make it. You'll follow the path of God, that path of righteousness. You'll walk in the Spirit, live in the Spirit, and what the Spirit does on the earth and in the earth, you'll be a part of. We've prayed too hard, believe God too much. I mean, we prayed that prayer 2 years ago at our camp meeting at our fall harvest. Lord, if this ain't it, please show us what it is. If there's something, but you know, isn't it amazing how God has shown us, sent us people, confirmations, affirmations? Just keep on moving forward. Keep on loving people. Keep on preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Keep on believing for signs, wonders, and miracles. Keep on believing that God will stretch forth His hand to heal. Keep on believing that souls will be saved. Keep on believing that all this missions work will be effective. Keep on believing that every seed reproduces after its own kind. Just like Jairus, see, he came to a point in which it looks like his faith didn't work. But what did Jesus say to him? Thank God for Jesus. What did the Word say to him? What did the Word say? Because the report was, it's over, it's over. Yeah. Well, why troublest thou the Master any longer? Your daughter's dead. But he was close enough to Jesus for Jesus to say to him, don't be alarmed or seized with fear. Only keep on believing. So he could have said to Jesus, believe in what? She's dead. Thank God he didn't say that. But Jesus would have said this. What got you to me in the first place? You said, if I could get to her and lay my hands on her, she will be healed. That's enough. That's all you need. Doesn't matter that we stopped for a woman with an issue of blood. Doesn't matter you got a bad report. And doesn't matter all these people are laughing because they won't be laughing in a few minutes. And when he put them out, not when you put them out, not when you get mad, not when you win the argument, when the demonstration of what God wants to do shows up, it puts them out. Right. And they kind of go, oh. Yeah. Yeah. Amen? Hallelujah. You lift your hands and worship God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we glorify your name, Father. Oh, you're wonderful, 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 Lord Jesus. We glorify, exalt you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, listen. You know, it says several things. We could dig really deep into that judgment thing there because you're not under judgment. And your problem isn't because of the judgment of God. Amen. Now let me just say this. Unconfessed sin or repetitive sin that you're not dealing with. Somebody asked me one time, how long do I have to deal with sin? I tell you, you don't have to deal with it no more. But amen, if you're dealing with something in your life, keep dealing with it. So, well, I got knocked down. Get up. Well, I got knocked down 100 times. Get up 101 times. Because it's that 101st time or 110. Well, you're going to get up one day and stay up. But you'll never get up if you quit trying to get up. Amen? Get up. Get up at it. Deal with the negative emotions in your life. Amen? Deal with them. Why do I feel like this? Why do I feel like this? How come every time pastor says this, I feel like this? How come every time he says this, why don't you find out from God? Because I'm not trying to do anything to manipulate or hurt anybody. I'm doing everything I can do to help you. Amen. But a lot of people, they're just, and then here's a really good one. Don't drink anyone else's poison. Don't do it. Well, it's my best friend. Listen, church, you need to get, you better find you one best friend. And his name needs to start with a J.
Yeah.
Amen. I've watched that little game get played for years and years and years. And many times it's been done, it's been to the detriment of good people who should have never drank the poison that was offered them. Amen. Poison's too potent these days. There's too much toxin in it. Stay away from it. Just keep your heart pure. Walk in forgiveness. Walk in love. And you know, I did that the other day. Made somebody mad as a hornet. They wanted to bring something up to me, and I said, "Haven't you forgiven those people yet?" And that person walked away from me like, I said, "Oh, okay." All right, I guess you haven't, is what I concluded. Amen? God is so good. He holds nothing against you. He loves you with an everlasting, eternal love. And you can love too. You can forgive. I've heard that. I can't do it, Pastor. I tell you, yes, you can. Start out with the Father. Start asking the Father. Say, "Father, I can't do it, but you can do it, so I'm asking you, you forgive him." And if you'll do that, then he'll start working on you. And he'll get you to the place where you can forgive. Because if you cannot forgive, honey, you are sunk. Jesus, go read Mark 11. He said, if you don't forgive those that wrong you, that hurt you, man, you study what that says in the Greek. It's talking about no matter what they've done to you. If you don't forgive them, neither can the Father forgive you. That shuts the entire door of the kingdom in your face. You've got to forgive. Sure, the people produce pain. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm sincerely. Let me tell you this story and we'll leave. When I was young in the Lord, this would be April of 1985. I was a Bible school student. Dr. Oscar Hamilton invited me to come stay in his home and to preach at a very large full gospel businessman chapter in Harlingen, Texas. He was a dermatologist. Good man of God, just awesome dude. I stayed in his home. Anyway, I got up back then, for full gospel businessman, you had to give your testimony, which I didn't like doing. But I did it anyway. I obeyed God and gave my testimony. And right as I finished, a woman stood up. There was about 600 people there, and she stood up. I remember she was on the left side. And she said, "May I say something?" I'm like, "Sure." And what she said next was just, you know, you learn these things over the years. She said, "Dr. Hamilton, I hate you." I thought, boy, this is a way to start a meeting, isn't it? And then she started crying. And I could tell it was the Holy Ghost. I could tell it was the Spirit. Even being that young in the Lord, you could tell it was the Spirit of God. She said, "When I was a teenager, you gave me medicine, and it pocked my face. And I blamed you my whole life for making me ugly." And she said, when this young man was telling his testimony and talking about forgiveness and how God forgave him and how he asked forgiveness, he said, "I know I'm supposed to forgive you." And she just started crying. Dr. Hamilton got out and just ran. They just embraced. And when they did, the Holy Ghost just fell on my place. That woman had held that against him for over 18 years and had lived in bitterness for 18 years, blaming Dr. Hamilton for her appearance. But in an instant of time, just through the inspiration of a testimony of a backslidden Pentecostal boy, the Spirit of God came in and touched her and delivered her from all of that bitterness. That's why you can't carry that stuff, church. You can't do it. You can't do it. And if you'll just let it go, you say, "How do I do that?" With words, your most powerful asset that you have, the only thing in your life that touches every realm is your words. You begin to say, "I'm not going to be offended anymore. I'm not going to live in unforgiveness. I'm not going to drink this bitterness every day. Jesus has set me free. If I can be forgiven, I can forgive." Then you start the process. You start working on it. You've got the Holy Ghost to help you. You've got the Word of God to empower you. You've got a church that loves you. You've got someone that does his best to teach you revelation. He's telling you this right now, isn't he? That's me. Amen. So use it to your advantage.
Yeah.
And get that stuff out of your life. Go on with God. Sure, people get hurt. People do mean things, ugly things, horrible things, terrible things. violent things. But thank God Jesus came and bore that. I think I said this a couple of weeks ago. You know, many times in our hearts, we want people punished. But always remember, you also were worthy of punishment. And the same person that took your punishment took their punishment. So what empowers you to punish them? That's why God said through Jesus there in Mark 11, you better forgive them. And he says it like this, not that I won't, I can't. I can't forgive you. Amen. Lift your hands. Father, we just worship you tonight. Let your word settle into people's hearts. Thank you, Lord God, for the forgiveness that the blood of Jesus affords us. Thank you, Lord God, for the remission of sin that takes place through the new birth. And thank you, Father, that the Holy Spirit of God abides in us through the new birth and empowers us in baptismal measure. As we leave tonight, thank you for our protection and safety. The Word of God declares it. The Holy Ghost demonstrates it. And we give God all the glory. Thank you for our protection, our safety, our deliverance. Devil, you're a liar. Every strategy, trap, or trick you try to pull, we stand against in the name of Jesus. As we travel on the highways, airways, seaways, railways, any other way of travel or transportation, we thank you, Father, that your provision is upon us. Thank you in the righteous labor of our hands, men and women. They work in construction. They work in all of the big corporations of our island and of our area. Our teachers, our students, we declare safety, protection. Devil, we bind every strategy of terror, every strategy of harm that you're planning in this city or this area. We just absolutely, without question, say no in Jesus' name. And Father, as we leave tonight, thank you that ultra super sensitivity that's in the world is not in us. But there's another super sensitivity to the Spirit of God so that we might be a blessing to people, an answer to their prayer, a problem to the devil, and a miracle in someone's life. Lord, as we leave tonight, we walk in faith and love towards you. We love you so much. As we leave tonight, we walk in love one toward another. Thank you for our church. As we leave tonight, Father, we thank you that we are the ambassadors of Christ you've called us to be. Thanking you, Lord, here at Island Church, we are covered by your blood, empowered by your word, and anointed by the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. God
bless you. Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com.